WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. As a midnight deadline looms...
Mrs. Blackburn. Mr. Blumenthal. Ms. Blunt.
A GOP spending bill to avert a government shutdown has cleared a key hurdle, providing a pathway for Senate passage. This was the first of six votes. 10 Democrats voted to advance the legislation. A crowd protested outside the Department of Education headquarters today, rallying against the Trump administration's mass layoffs at the agency. Portia Allen Kyle is with the group Color of Change.
People want to see something different. They want a different type of government, a government that works for us, not a government that is, you know, out to disrupt our entire system and structure and block opportunity for generations to come.
Secretary of State Rubio says more visas will be revoked in the coming days, specifically people who occupied university buildings.
We will continue to look for people that we would never have allowed into this country on student visas had we known they were going to do what they've done. But now that they've done it, we're going to get rid of them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature would increase the penalties for people convicted of property theft in multiple cases. The legislation proposed by Republican lawmakers would allow multiple property theft crimes committed within a six-month period to be combined as one crime. That means individual crimes where the value of the stolen property would only classify as a misdemeanor could be combined to upgrade to a felony charge. The bill would also allow prosecutors to file felony charges against suspects with prior misdemeanor convictions. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is urging residents to take precautions as measles cases rise across the country. There haven't been any reported measles cases in the state so far, but health officials are concerned that residents traveling for spring break may return with the disease. They're advising residents to check on their MMR vaccine eligibility with their healthcare provider. They also say typical flu prevention methods like washing your hands regularly or wearing a mask in crowded spaces can help prevent the spread. The Altoona Police Department says they saw a slight drop in the total number of calls they responded to in 2024, but saw an increase in traffic enforcement. According to department data, officers responded to about 30 fewer calls in total compared to 2023. They also conducted more traffic stops, issued more warnings and citations, and conducted 10 vehicle pursuits compared to just two in 2023. Officials say they're looking to expand their traffic enforcement infrastructure with things like license plate readers to cut down on pursuits. The Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative has officially entered a purchase agreement for the HSHS St. Joseph's Hospital facility in Chippewa Falls. According to a press release, the organization will have 90 days to conduct their due diligence on the site to determine if reopening the hospital is financially feasible. If they determine that it is, the facility could be reopened for patients by the end of the year. The St. Joseph's Hospital facility has been closed for about a year, leaving Chippewa Falls residents without adequate access to critical care. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Another win for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers beat UCLA 86-70. The Badgers had lost to the Bruins in L.A. earlier this season. Wisconsin's Kamari McGee on the Badgers radio network says today they did a better job on defense against the Bruins.
We're just making sure that we were in our gaps. When we watched the film from the last game, it was a lot. It was just open, the driving lane after driving lane. But, you know, we really focused in on the gaps. Just being in gap helps, making them throw the throwback, making them find other guards, just because we knew that they wanted to get in the paint more than shoot the three.
So Wisconsin advances in the semifinals in Indianapolis. They take on the number one seed Michigan State tomorrow at noon. In the Big East, it's Marquette against St. John's at Madison Square Garden. We'll have a recap later tonight. NFL, Packers losing a player in free agency, linebacker, and a leader on special teams, Eric Wilson, has signed to rejoin the Vikings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Breezy tonight with passing showers and thunderstorms, and windy for tomorrow with areas of rain, maybe some snow mixed late. Temps fall out of the 50s tonight to the 30s tomorrow. Sunshine and around 40 for a high Sunday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers seed in the NCAA tournament and what makes you a target of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be a big part. Join us on the phone lines or the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board for you today. Jazzed as hell co-host James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting right here in the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. He is a former U.S. attorney, and he's a friend of ours. Jim, thanks for sticking around, man. Good to see you.
Good to be with you on a day when memories of Main Justice are in my mind as I think about what's going on there. The good old days.
Donald Trump did visit Maine Justice today, as MSNBC is calling an unusual move. And we talked, we played some of the sound in the last segment. We're going to move on topically in just a moment. But our caller and our friend Joel from the last segment brought up this matter of the voting machines, Dominion, yes, and right. Smartmatic, and the fact that they were Dominion specifically. I think Smartmatic's still going
right.
Dominion settled for $700-800 million on the Fox News because they were out there disparaging them and telling lies about Dominion. Well, today Donald Trump got up in front of the Department of Justice and told the Department of Justice that CNN and MSNBC should be illegal.
Right.
And that they're doing horrible things, and he's really disparaging. Goes on to call Norm Eisen, attorney, and he has the Substack of The Contrarian, also a founding member of CRU, a government watchdog organization, called him violent.
A violent person.
And Joe's point, and if you would, kind of give me your opinion on this. Is that similar to what we've heard from Fox News? I mean, you know, Fox Don't Call It News was adamant on it all the time. They were told not to. They continued doing it, and eventually they settled for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Do you find this in the same vein at all?
Yeah, it is, and we've got really two different lanes here, right? You've got, again, as we talked before, you've got people in the public arena who necessarily have to suffer some criticism, right? And sometimes, and that's the New York Times standard, which, again, the president doesn't understand. That's called actual malice. You have to show that there's actual malice by CNN or MSNBC or by Norm Eisen or any of these folks. You knew it was wrong. You published it with the intent. Actual malice. That's New York Times versus Sullivan. Comes out of the 1960s. And yes, that's right. Martin Luther King, right? So that's part of this. And then the other, there's just general defamation, which I would argue, yes, indeed, consistent with what Joe has said today, is also out there. You know, this is, again, a public official now, not a news agency, attacking someone else. So you don't really have a news agency. You don't have a New York Times versus
Sullivan.
Well,
you have a public official attacking the news agency,
right?
versus the other way around.
Precisely.
The news agency usually attacks a public official.
That's normally how this goes. And so what is defamation? Let's do some civics. There's some law school here, Dom. Again, defamation. You have to demonstrate a false statement. There are many of them, including at the top of the list today, this notion that Norm Eisen is violent, of course. Published to a third party. Oh, yeah. America, 324 million people today. Causing harm to reputation, I think, Norm Eisen.
Certainly.
Mary reported before, plainly he is standing up against us, but there are an awful lot of people think, gosh, who is this guy? Reputation being compromised.
And same with CNN and MSNBC.
Absolutely. Anybody who is under attack today, the newspapers is out there, and the defendant's at fault. He does this either with negligence or, again, with actual malice, knowing what he's doing. You know, if you were in law school, all the elements of that particular offense are there. And, you know, as we were talking once again about Todd Blanche sitting there, he's got to be thinking. He's a bright guy. He's got to be thinking. Maybe he's not reviewing the elements of the offense of defamation in that moment, but he's got to be cringing and maybe going home tonight thinking, what was this today? And how do I get beyond this
today? I don't believe that for a minute,
today?
Man. He sold his soul for that check a long time ago. He knew what he was doing. He continues to happily cash those checks. And now he's a big government employee. So, you know, it got even better for him.
Again, this is a man. My point is, I think intellectually he knows better, but he's sold out and he's now being intellectually dishonest when he goes out there and advances this president's policies, which he can do. As the Deputy Attorney General of the United States of America.
You got the framing all wrong. Right. It's not selling out, baby. It's buying in.
Right.
855-752-4842. Trump also, in this screed going after the press and our First Amendment rights, throws a statistic. 97.6% of the stories published or written by MSNBC and CNN, according to him, were negative against him. Now, that's very specific. Does that matter? Throwing kind of numbers like it seems like, oh, we did some research, and when he throws a number, does that help his cause or help another different cause? Does that matter at all?
It should matter to every American, whether you're in lawsuit or not. And it's the kind of thing that you add into the lawsuit, right? When you're describing, frankly, a talking complaint, if you will. You talk about the references that he makes, of course, to violence in America being up. That's demonstrably wrong. And in fact, all you need to do is go across the street, Mr. President, to the FBI that publishes these numbers every single year in virtually all areas, not everyone, virtually all areas, as we know well, violent crime continues to decrease. Not to say that we don't have profound problems in some areas of our nation, but the overall statistics are just completely contrary to what you said, Mr. President. All those kinds of things, you put those in the context of overall defamation, lies you're telling. At a minimum, I'm hoping the media will file some Freedom of Information Act requests and say, okay, 97.6, that's very specific, Dom, as you said. We'd like to see the chart.
Yeah.
Show me the Excel sheet that provides that.
Let me get a Sharpie, man. I'll show
right,
you.
Right. And that's where the media, once again, there's an awful lot to do. That's the kind of thing that somebody needs to ask him about. The next, or at least his press secretary. Where does that information come from?
Yes.
Where does that information come from?
Of course, she'll take it personal. Like, she doesn't know how numbers work. We also saw in the Chiron during the break the challenges to Donald Trump's executive orders. Apparently, we're up to 123 different lawsuit challenges against the directives of this president. I mean, and they're very fond. You talk to like Ron Johnson or any of the Republicans here from the state of Wisconsin. Oh, this is, they're off to a hell of a start. Look how fast we're moving. Oh, da da da. Well, yeah, but now you got 123 court cases. There's a reason for that, because you're overstepping your bounds in most of those cases.
Absolutely, and in the great majority of those cases, many of them, if not all of them, in federal court. We've got federal judges appointed by Democratic presidents and Republican presidents, and almost to a person, they're saying, no, Mr. President, the 14th Amendment does not contemplate the elimination of birthright citizenship. Mr. President, you do not have the authority to fire all of these people. On and on, USAID, we can domestic funding, all these kinds of things. We've just got judges on both sides of the continental United States last couple of days saying, no, you can't fire thousands of probationary employees. These are people who are looking at the law. And yes, they're preliminary decisions or TROs. Maybe at some point they come up to the Supreme Court and John Roberts will invoke what he did back in July and say, well, maybe the president's got that right. But right now, when we do have federal judges who are enforcing the law, Senator Johnson, you're not being successful and you're being stopped. The only question, once again, is Will this president follow the rule of law? Or does he say, implicit in what he's talking about today, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to do what some federal judge tells me to do. That's when you have the constitutional crisis. That's when Americans really need to be in the streets.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Some callers in on this topic, and we'll dive into some of those court cases with James Santel. Cindy from Appleton, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us, Cindy?
Well, isn't the orange one illegally on the streets? I mean, he's a convicted felon. He's a convicted rapist. Why isn't he locked up?
Yes, right. Yes.
He was convicted as a civil. Thank you for the call, Cindy.
Right. And Cindy, I certainly broadly find myself in company with you. That is, this is Juan Merchan, who should have sentenced Donald Trump long before he was elected, not just because of that, but he was found guilty by a jury way back in May of last year after several weeks. Cindy, as you know well, a jury, unanimous jury, beyond a reasonable doubt. And there was really no reason in the end to postpone that sentencing until Donald Trump was elected, until 10 days before he is sworn in, and then impose upon him a sentence that really is a non-sentence. But, Cindy, to the solace we take from that is your point, which is we have a president who this day remains a convicted felon of crimes in the state of New York against the people of New York. No appellate court to this day has overturned that conviction. That's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I guess he's a felon, but it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. I mean, if there's no consequence to it, there's no literally zero consequence. Now, the only thing he lost is perhaps some time because he had to show up to court and he probably had to pay his attorneys a few bucks. You know, he hates doing that. That's the only consequence, man. He got away with it. I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Happy Friday, buddy. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, and it just is amazing that Donald Trump doesn't. He doesn't know who Blaine Cannon is. After all, he appointed her. I mean, somebody just must have stuck a piece of paper in front of him. And he just said, they said, sign this here. And he just signed without even knowing what it was. I wish I had access like that to him. I'd have him writing checks off to me and his bank account, for God's sake. And I wonder if in his cases against the civil cases he lost, when he's going to finally pay up for that, because can he delay that forever? I mean, that at some point in time, somebody's just going to say, no, now it's time for you to pay. Your appeals are done. Pay.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Jim, do you know where we stand? I guess the E. Jean Carroll case specifically, right?
Right, yeah. And again, there are appeals pending as to that, right? And so the judgment is stayed. But, Mark, you're absolutely right. These are called enforcement proceedings, and we saw that again, making reference once again to Rudy Giuliani after he defames those two hardworking polling workers in Georgia. Eventually, there are enforcement proceedings, and that's what you saw recently, and he's obliged. We don't know exactly what he does, but he's obliged to probably give up some property and some money there. And at some point when these judgments become final, again, they're all civil judgments against him, at some point they are and can be enforced. And you can, yes, indeed, seize assets and you can go after bank accounts, all kinds of civil remedies that can, in fact, be pursued by successful plaintiffs against him.
Thank you for the call, Mark. Have a great weekend. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel, my co-host today. You can check his fine program out on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. We got Just BS working hard on the board. We're going to come back. We're going to dive into some of these cases. The Trump administration must rehire thousands of fired workers. Judges rule. That's plural judges. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. We're going to get into that as well. And what does that mean? Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
This is 93.5 The Tap. In the fall of 1921, VFW Post 305 was founded in Eau Claire. It remains the only post in the country with a bar, restaurant, panoramic views, and its own military museum. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day with VFW Post 305. Starting at 1 p.m. on St. Pat's Day and while supplies last, enjoy special Reubens with French fries, corned beef, cabbage, and carrots, pints of green beer, Irish coffee, and so much more. VFW Post 305 for St. Patrick's Day, 1300 Star Avenue in Eau Claire.
Hey, fellow Gen Xers, it's Elizabeth Banks. Big news! The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the charge. After all, we gave the world the internet. We're trailblazers. Let's lead the way again, because we are at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Head to VaxAssist.com and schedule today. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. James Centel, my co-host for the day. Moving on to other topics of legal issues.
Fascination and horror at the same time, right?
A New York Times reporting the Trump admin must rehire thousands of fired workers, judges rule. Now, this is a judge, in Maryland, James Brader, U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland, and also, some cat out in San Francisco as well.
Right. William Alsop is his name, there, right? We go. Northern California. Both ends of the nation, Dom, as you observed. Alsop, giving us some good language here. He says, it's a sad day when our government would fire some good employees and say it was based on performance when they know good and well that it's a lie. It was a sham, he goes on to say, in order to try to avoid statutory requirements.
No, that sounds bad, right? If I were to do that as an individual, what would happen? I'd be remanded by the court.
Again, these are civil proceedings, so at least in America to this point, we don't jail people in civil proceedings. Who knows what the future may bring here? But when you receive words like that, a judge is telling you that, that's the time that you sit back and think, gosh, maybe I need to rethink what I'm doing here because this isn't going well.
Double down, right, baby, right, double
right?
down.
And that's exactly what happens here. The judge also says if it's done right, there can be a reduction in force for an agency, and that has to be true. But you got to do it in the right way. Both of the judges are saying that, and frankly, every judge looking at this would say just the same thing. You can't do what he calls a sham thing. The concern, once again, is will Donald Trump follow this, right? A lot of these folks, Department of Agriculture, many, many agriculture, VA, Treasury, Defense, Energy, Interior, all employees, probationary employees who are supposed to come back to work. What is the message to them? Probably the people in those agencies no longer have contact information. So how do we reach out to them, as we've seen before? It is just so over the top. impossible to believe that we're doing this now inside the United States government.
He's pushing every button, right?
Right.
I mean, he's testing the electric fence. He's looking for the weak spot.
Right.
According to the New York Times, the Judge Alsup from San Francisco said he had hoped testimony from the officials involved in the firings would provide clarity about the conception and execution of the plans. He excoriated a lawyer from the Justice Department for failing to produce Mr. Ezell and other potential witnesses. As part of his ruling on Thursday, Judge Alsup specified that the government would have to allow Noah Peters, a lawyer working with Mr. Musk's team who was detailed to the personnel office, to sit for a deposition in Washington about the impetus behind the firings. Here's what the judge said. You will not bring the people in here to be cross-examined. You are afraid to do so because you know cross-examination would reveal the truth.
He's
right on, man. They're like, no, we're not letting that guy testify because, of course, they'll know. If he testifies truthfully, he'll spill the beans on the whole thing. So, we're just not going to do that.
Absolutely. And again, this is a time when individuals, many of whom they're not just functionaries, but they're being told plainly to do this, probably against their better judgment and probably knowing that this is illegal. When you get on the stand, you swear to tell the truth. If you say, no one ever told me this, and there are probably emails and documents about this, that is a crime. That's called perjury, right? And the question is, do these people, as they come in, want to expose themselves to crimes? They want to lay themselves down at the altar.
Well,
because if you do what the boss
says, you're going to perjure yourself. Right. And if you tell the truth, they're going to rule against you.
Exactly. And there is no clear path. You don't want to engage in the crime. That's very, very clear, right? That's the problem, once again.
Is it a crime for the government to present to a judge? BS? No, they weren't. I mean, they're if they were too able to get this testimony and it came back and it was so very evident. Now, the judges, what happens in that case? Slap on the wrist? This is a ruse. This is a fraud. What are you talking about? A sham?
Here's more legal procedures called suborning perjury, right? And that, too, is a crime. And there are circumstances, again, typically in the criminal setting, but not always, could be civil as well. If you, as a lawyer, if you're a representative here of an agency, a legal representative, and you're putting somebody on the stand knowing what they're going to say is false, you have also not only violated the rules of the court, you're arguably in contempt, but you're suborning perjury. You're supporting the representations that you know are wrong. That, too, is a crime. Well, a lot of people got to think about what they're doing
here. Well,
the
way they fired them all was for performance. Because the only way they could fire them legally and do it the way they did was to blame everything on performance,
right? And so what you do then, what the plaintiffs in all these cases will do individually, they'll say, okay, wait, I'm a probationary employee. I've never gotten a review. Or in some instances, some of these folks looking forward say, wait a minute.
I've gotten
3-month reviews. They said I'm fantastic.
Right?
Deal with that. And that's why Judge Alsup was saying, bring it on. Let's have those people testify about what really happened here. They know that the emperor has no clothes.
These are just temporary orders, right? So there's a lot going on here. Let's see. According to the New York Times, Alsup, again, this is the San Francisco, that ruling was a preliminary injunction intended to remain in effect while the case is tried and a final decision is rendered. Brader's, the other Maryland ruling, is even more short-lived, just a 2-week measure aimed at pausing any more drastic cuts to those agencies while the lawsuit plays out. Can the government, the DOJ, Trump administration in this case go in and try to change their position? Because obviously the judges aren't buying that this is a performance issue. Can they go back and try to justify somehow, some way, these firings? Because they're trying to get around a statute, right?
They are, absolutely. And they're also addressing time, right? They've got to come up with something. An awful lot of people, I think, who are probably burning, maybe they're not burning midnight oil trying to figure out what we do in front of the judge. But that's a part of this, too. You want to figure out what is our best argument. Obviously, these judges are not buying what we're saying. Can we find some probationary employee somewhere who is a bad employee who would have been fired anyway? And we bring that one forward. That's not going to carry the day, but they're looking hard and fast for something. What they should do, of course, is admit that, again, there's no basis for doing this. Reinstate all these people, put them back, and do the individual performance reviews that would otherwise result in finding some people most people are wonderful, some of them not so good.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel sticking around for another half hour. We'd like to end the show. Tell us something good. We love it. So make sure you join us for that. The Trump administration not only going after the media, not only going after government watchdog groups, also going after attorneys. We're going to talk about that next. 855-752-4842.
The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will begin selling bonus harvest authorizations for the 2025 spring turkey hunting season on Monday. According to a press release, the leftover permits can be purchased through the Go Wild license portal or in person with a licensed sales agent starting at 10 a.m. and running through midnight each day. To purchase them online, hunters will now need a Go Wild username and password, and officials are advising interested hunters to set their account information up as soon as possible. As the weather starts to warm up, Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are reminding residents that it's time to start looking out for ticks. According to a social media post, DHS officials say ticks are already becoming active even though it's not technically spring yet. They're advising residents to use EPA-registered insect repellent, wear long sleeves and pants, and check for ticks after spending time outdoors. More helpful information on tick prevention methods can be found on the Department of Health Services website. Dunn County District Attorney Andrea Nodoff says she does not plan on voluntarily recusing herself from a fatal drunk driving case that resulted in the death of a Dunn County correctional officer. 41-year-old Mark Sokolowski of Eau Claire is charged with homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle in relation to the December 24th crash that killed Officer Jeff Reynolds. His defense attorney has filed a motion to force Nodoff off the case. The case is being heard by an Eau Claire judge after Dunn County Judge Luke Wagner did recuse himself. A Clayton man is facing up to 10 years in prison after being accused of accepting more than $36,000 for a contract project he never completed. According to court documents, 46-year-old Floyd Moen IV was charged with felony theft by contractor in Barron County Circuit Court last week. The complaint alleges he was hired for a project in Turtle Lake in 2019 and cashed a check for over $36,000 as a down payment for materials. A civil lawsuit filed by the homeowners resulted in a $37,000 judgment. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're headed to the theater this weekend, there are lots of new releases to choose from. Personally, I'm most excited about Black Bag, a spy thriller and the latest effort from Steven Soderbergh, which stars Michael Fassbender and Cate Blanchett. The film is currently drawing a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Black Bag is rated R, probably for coolness. Another film reviewing well that opens this weekend is Novocaine, which is being labeled an action mystery comedy thriller. That's some serious bang for your genre buck. The film stars the red-hot Jack Quaid as a man who feels no pain and is trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend, played by Amber Midthunder. And if you want to introduce your kids to your favorite cartoon heroes of yesteryear, check out The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. Porky Pig and Daffy Duck team up to save the Earth from an alien invasion. This is the first ever Looney Tunes fully animated feature film released in theaters. The film is receiving a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Breezy tonight with passing showers and thunderstorms, and windy for tomorrow with areas of rain, maybe some snow mixed late. Temps fall out of the 50s tonight to the 30s tomorrow. Sunshine and around 40 for a high Sunday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one.
outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Got Jess P.S. working hard for you and James Santel joining me till the 6 o'clock hour, wrapping the show up with telling us something good. Hope you got something good, Jim. We will share it with all. I want you to join us as well. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day here in Wisconsin. That's always good. Don't you got to be deep. Just, you know, start by telling us something good. That'll be the last segment. One of our texters, Uncle Tony from Columbus, he jumps in. I think you know what we're going to be talking about. Yes, can Jim comment on the law firms Trump is targeting being absolute cowards by not fighting back? What? It seems like it's all about the Benjamins instead of the law with these firms. Uncle Tony, I don't know if I agree with your premise, but counselor, what are your thoughts? Do you believe Perkins Coie and these other firms are fighting back? I mean, they filed court cases, right?
They absolutely are. And this is just a matter of getting the information correct. They've gone in front of a federal district court judge. Her name is Beryl Howell. We've talked about her before. Mm. She did a lot of sentencings of those January 6th folks. Oh, wait, they were pardoned by this president.
Oh, wow, waste of time that
right,
was.
Right, but she is out there, and she's not taking any of this. And so the attorneys from Perkins Coie go in, and they say, yes, indeed, this is having a dramatic impact on this. The president basically discouraging federal officials from interacting with the firm's lawyers. They can't get into federal buildings, shutting them down, communications shut down. And indeed, Beryl Howell says you can't do that. She enters, again, a temporary order. It's not permanent. She goes on to say, regardless of whether the president dislikes the firm's clients, yes, indeed, Perkins Coie used to represent a leader in American history and politics. Her name is Hillary Clinton, used to be our Secretary of State, a senator from New York. Regardless of whether the president likes the firm's clients, issue an executive order targeting the firm based upon the president's dislike for the political position of the firm's clients or the firm's litigation postures is retaliatory and runs head-on into the well-established protections of the First Amendment. That's Beryl Howell. Can't do this. Stop it. Knock it off, she's saying, as do virtually all of the other federal judges who are addressing this sort of thing. Beryl Howell, again, standing up against this kind of oppression. You can't do this. And again, it's just because you sign a piece of paper, Mr. President, doesn't mean that it's legal, that it's constitutional. Thank goodness we've got judges like Beryl Howell and others who are saying no along the way. Also invoking some interesting literary aspects of this.
Yes.
You'll permit me one of those along the way. She talks about Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
The judge did.
The judge does this, right? And she does this from the bench. Dom and Jess, I know you've got your copies at home, and you make reference to these routinely. She talks about the Queen of Hearts, who in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, at the slightest inconvenience, she says, the judge says, would say, off with their heads, off with their heads. And she compares our president to the Queen of Hearts. Inconvenienced by all this and saying, off with their heads? No, you can't do that. That's a judge making the point as clearly as you possibly can.
Queen of Hearts. I was thinking of Juice Newton. You know, Queen of Hearts. That's telling. Right? She's putting him in his place. She had other derogatory things and other rulings saying against him, but referring to him when he calls himself or puts images out there of himself as a monarch, yes. And so forth. I guess a little bit here I wanted to share with the folks specifically. The law firm said that the implications for the executive order Trump signed had significance beyond one law firm, as it was, quote, an affront to the Constitution and our adversarial system of justice. Its plain purpose is to bully those who advocate points of view that the president perceives as adverse to the views of his administration, whether those views are presented on behalf of paying or pro bono clients. The suit added that Perkins Coie cannot allow its clients to be bullied, apparently saying that the order has already hurt business, resulting in, quote, significant lost revenue and harm to clients, it claims in its complaint.
What a disaster. What a catastrophe, right? Again, not only for this firm, but it sends a message to any other firm out there, right? This is the deterrent in the wrong direction. This is negative deterrence. You take us on, you file challenges to the things I'm doing. You represent clients I don't like. I'm going to announce you. I'm going to identify
who you
are.
And now you can't get in the building to do the meetings.
Exactly.
They're dropping them left and right because they got to be able. They can't do it.
Right. The General Services Administration obliged, arguably, to enforce the rules established by this president, and it sends once again the chilling message on a day that we're also talking about attacking anybody. We're talking about the media, lawyers, also anybody who. In Donald Trump's view, articulates a view, takes a position contrary to his, those people are not only contrary to what he believes, and that's okay, but they're also acting illegally, unconstitutionally, and their conduct is so bad, I need to issue an executive order to stop it. Once again, the cynicism dripping from all of this because he thinks somehow Americans will think that that's somehow proper. That that's somehow an invocation
well,
of
sooner
civics.
Sooner or later, they'll come after
right,
you, yo.
Right,
you know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? I mean, come on, man. It's the media. It's individual Norm Eisen, or it's right. Perkins Coie, or you know, or it's a federal worker, or it's LGBT, or you know, it's pretty much anybody, right. Not Donald Trump and those that kiss his ass are targets. And now it's not just you know truthing out some social media messages. It's got the force of the executive office behind it,
and comes after you one day as well. If you'll indulge me, another literary reference that's not coming out of Beryl Howell, but this is from Henry VI, Part 2. This is Dick the Butcher. He and his henchmen, Shakespeare, of course, are planning to overthrow the king, right? And what he says, those infamous words we all know, the first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. Now, it's the product of the predicate for an awful lot of lawyer jokes.
Certainly.
People get that wrong. What Dick the Butcher is saying is we need to overthrow government. We need to become authoritarian, overthrow the king. How do we do that? We get rid of the people who are in our way. Those are the lawyers. Dick the Butcher wants them gone so that he can take control. I would offer that Donald Trump may or may not be the Queen of Hearts, may or may not be Dick the Butcher, but in both circumstances, wildly, wildly illegal behavior on behalf of our president that is in the nature of a bully. Absolutely. Dick the Butcher, Henry the Sixth, Part 2. First thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. That's what Donald Trump is saying today.
I can't help but think of Dick the Bruiser, the professional wrestler and former Green Bay Packer. But Dick the Butcher, going after the attorneys, like the lawyers like this, I mean, does that help his cause? I mean, if you want to break down the fundamental structures of this country, if you get rid of all the lawyers, who's gonna fight you in court? If you get rid of all the you know the intellects and the right. professors and right. all those damn teachers, you know, then you can you know, dictate and how education must be and you know stand for this and kneel for that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're going after all your adversaries one by one, and pretty soon there's nobody left.
You pick them off, and maybe you go after federal judges as well, right?
They're already trying to exactly. or suggested impeaching some of these federal judges because
we know that well.
They ruled against this administration.
Exactly.
I mean, how is it that anyone that follows this administration or is a Trump fan thinks that everything he does is proper and good and for right. them?
And all of these people, imagine the nature of this conspiracy, right, Dom? That you've got federal judges, you've got lawyers, frankly, who are adversaries between themselves on a regular basis. They've all gotten together, agency heads, people in personnel, people across the board, private sector, public sector, all these people, the former U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, people in public integrity section, National Security Division, all these people have gotten together and illegally without any foundation are attacking this president.
What an amazing
conspiracy that is among all these people across our nation. Donald Trump is an advocate for our believing that conspiracy. Oh, my goodness.
Poor guy. I mean, president victim over here. I mean, maybe you don't do the criming and you won't be having the investigations. 855-752-4842. Uncle Tony, he chimes back in. Thank you, Uncle Tony. He said, thanks for the update. Was this new? Because everything I've seen and heard until now said they weren't doing anything. Sorry about that. This was from, I guess, the 11th, so a couple of days ago, three days ago, Tony. And I mean, it's not done yet, right?
This is
just starting.
And Tony, to support your, again, we appreciate so tremendously, focus. It's a lot, right?
It is a lot.
Even when we were preparing for this wonderful broadcast, lots of things to keep in mind. And so the information of yesterday is overtaken by more outrage and more behavior, more conduct today and tomorrow. So it's happening very quickly.
It is. But you know what? We can do this.
We can do this. We can keep it all straight, can't we?
And we'll keep it straight. We'll keep it easy. We'll keep it fun. We'll keep you informed. And we'll keep taking your calls and your texts. 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine. Just imagine if the prior administration issued the same order against the firms and attorneys representing Trump in his various cases. Mm. Great point, Andrew. I think they would cry foul from the rooftops.
Absolutely. And thankfully, we have had a president in the prior term who never even came close to that. All these kinds of things. Even today's event that started off this broadcast, Joe Biden understood that arm's length relationship and talked about the big picture issues. But even it went so far as to permit, and I recognize that your callers are going to jump all over this, permitted the Department of Justice through a special counsel to indict his own son. And yes, indeed, we can disagree and we can have disagreements about whether the pardon of that was proper or not. But the reality is, do you think for one moment that Donald Trump would permit Pam Bondi to indict any of the Trump children? Would not happen. Simply would not happen.
855-752-4842. Mark chimes in, or in the vein of Henry II. Saying, oh, won't someone rid me of these troublesome journalists?
Yes, there you go.
Let's get to Ed from Cadott. Welcome, Ed. You are up. Happy Friday. Welcome. What do you got? Hello, Ed. We got Ed?
Am I on?
Yeah, hey, you're on the radio. Ed, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm Cornell from Merrill. This is a book, 1776, by McCulloch, and it was a great line in the book. And he said, Thomas Jefferson said, you have to have free speech in the Constitution, or I will not sign the Constitution. So it shows that it is so important that we have the free speech in our country. And this is the book, 1776. It's a great book about the Revolutionary War.
All right on, man. Appreciate it.
Reliable history there. Absolutely right.
We read the First Amendment in the last hour. Before we move on to the next segment and telling us something good, folks, the freedom of speech, does that also apply to, you know, international students with legal green cards in the state of, in this country, Jim?
Right. The answer is yes. The Supreme Court has said repeatedly that the protections of our Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, all the articles and all of its very, very important support of fundamental rights. They protect not just citizens, we forget this sometimes, but people who are here, residents who are here, all of those things. That's why people who are not citizens can go into our courts and have their rights supported as well. Now, there are all kinds of processes. And yes, there can be different standards administratively for how these things are administered by ALJs and others. But the reality is the protections, including those of the First Amendment, apply across the board to anyone who is here. That's the grandeur. That's the glory of our nation for 250 years.
But the student's now sitting, you know, in a holding cell in Louisiana waiting to go to court, perhaps, I think we said, what, next week?
Right. And so, again, a judge will presumably look at this and say, show me the probable cause to believe that this person has engaged in crime. Again, we don't incarcerate people in this country absent probable cause to believe that there's been a crime committed, right? And so that's what the hearing next week will be all about. The government's got to come forward and say that advocacy, whatever you think about it, somehow is committing a crime under our laws.
Against our what? Against our foreign policies. Right. So we have a student, an adult student, mind you, who protests against our foreign policy decisions, and they're not a full citizen. They're only here on a legal green card that they can just be whisked away. Is that the world we're living in now? I certainly hope not, Jim. Right.
And apparently it's what our president also says about these kinds of things.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. One final segment. James Santil, Jess P.S. Tell us something good. It's Friday. I know you got something. 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that one?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that one?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines or the text, 855-752-4842. But we got a little rule of this segment. You can ask your questions, make your comments, but you got to start out by telling us something good.
That's right.
Tell us something good. Just loves it. We love to send you off on the weekend telling you something good. So let's get to it on the lines. Texters, you know, callers always come first. Mm-hmm. Wisco Paul, you are up. Happy Friday, Paulie. Tell us something good, buddy.
Hey, great show today for number one.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I learned a lot about democracy. Yeah, it was an awesome show. You learned a lot about democracy. But something good for me is Sue Crawford was great at the debate with Brad Schimmel, which in my mind is awesome for democracy and fair maps in Wisconsin. So that's my great thing for today. Anyway, you guys are great. Awesome. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Wisco. Have a great weekend, man. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tony, One good thing about Trump is he gives us lots of opportunities to learn civics.
All right.
The cup is half full.
I'm sure that was his intent, Tony, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
He really is an educator.
He really is.
At heart, right? That's what this is all about. We're all going to get a test at the end of this term and determine whether or not we've listened to him along the way or not.
What was it you said to me, Dom, today when you came in today? We all have the opportunity to be educators, to teach people what to do and what not to do.
That's right. And you remember.
I did. You taught me.
Right. Hey, you know, Trump ain't got, Socrates doesn't have anything on Trump.
Oh, my God.
It's Socrates. I know. I did Bill and Ted for everybody. I don't want you thinking. I don't want the megas going out there saying Socrates. How about you, Jim? You got something good? Anything you want to share?
I do, absolutely. And so we know that this coming Monday is St. Patrick's Day,
yes!
right? And I've talked before about some of the good things that sometimes go on in Washington, D.C. Lots and lots of things going on there, including kids' days, festivals, families, kinds of things. A couple of them caught my eye because it struck me as, again, a celebration of the heritage of America, our diversity, and especially our Irish residents of Irish heritage. We've got, for example, you can go to DIY Crafters. You can sip and you can script at St. Patrick's themed workshop. The course is an introduction to modern calligraphy. A pointed dip pen and ink. You get a nibs, ink, paper, and other tools. You can celebrate St. Patrick's Day by learning calligraphy. And a second one, if that's not enough, you can also go to the Dhaka Beer Garden. They're hosting not only a scavenger hunt throughout Washington, D.C., but also a murder mystery. Does it get any better than that in America? We celebrate St. Patrick's Day and all of our residents, our citizens of Irish heritage, those and other ways.
Is there any green beer with the calligraphy?
I'm guessing there probably is. Yes,
I mean, yes. It is St. Paddy's Day, and everybody's Irish on St. Paddy's Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jess? Anything great you want to share with the audience?
You know what, Dom? I don't think I've been able to share something good all week.
Oh, what?
Because we've had so many people calling in and sharing, and that itself is something pretty great.
It is.
However, over this past weekend, I had lunch with my parents, my sister, and her partner, and just for over 2 hours, we sat and we laughed, and it just was a warm, happy moment. We hadn't gotten together, all five of us, in a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
And just setting aside that time and just being goofy and laughing and making gentle fun of each other in public. It was a great, great time.
Missing only calligraphy, Jess. That's the only thing that was missing, right?
I mean, there was a little bit of making fun of handwriting. Does that count?
Yes.
That okay, qualifies. Perfect.
Cursive. Must learn cursive. 855-752-4842. AJ from Madison. He chimes in. I saw the full moon the other day and was struck with the happiness and the thought of not being able to gaze at it, unlike the sun or the eclipse like Donald Trump did on camera. Thought of you guys in the Tell Me Something Good segment. All right.
It's working.
Thank you, AJ. Len from Madison. Something good would be a vote for Robin Hood. Take from the rich and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could tax them a little more. That'd be great.
Can we stop doing the opposite?
Yeah, let's do that, Len. I like that idea. All right, I'll tell you something. I got the chance to hang out with my buddy Fancy Brian last night.
All right.
Oh, man, we went to Kegel's Inn. They had a beer tasting in the big tent and went around. And I just stuck to the booze. But Brian, he partook and we learned a lot about lots of European beers. It was great to catch up with our old friend, former producer, Big Fancy Brian. So it was great to see him as well. Next week, St. Paddy's Day on Monday. My daughter's birthday.
Oh, very good. What are you doing? How are you celebrating, Don?
Well, we're going to, the family's coming over on Sunday, Sunday, and we're going to kind of pre-celebrate. She's home from school, and so we're going to bring her boyfriend and the family and my brothers-in-law and we're hang out at the house and have a lunch and catch up.
Is this the big 20?
She's 20.
Oh, my.
You believe my baby girl is 20 years old.
Wow.
I know. Hey, look at me. How is that even possible?
It is impossible.
Yeah, when you were 5.
12. But that's right. So looking forward to that on Sunday. And, of course, Izzy busy. Her birthday is going to be on Monday. So we're going to have a great weekend. And, of course, Next week, I mean, St. Patty's Day. You know, nothing's getting done on Monday. I know all you folks out there, you're going to try, you're going to pretend. Oh, I think I feel a cold coming on Monday. I'm sick Monday. Hey, it's Friday. Like
Super Bowl flu. I've got a scavenger hunt to go to in Washington, D.C. Right.
Learn that calligraphy, Jim. Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to this fine program. Thank you, James Santel,
always
former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a Law Review. Be sure you check him out on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. He takes the calls just like we do. Loves it when he gets challenged a little bit. Give Jim a call and hang out with us. Thank you, Jess P.S. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for all that you do. And our fair audience, you too, have a great weekend. We'll be back on the air on Monday with our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kane. Now stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We've got a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We're going to be talking about Irish heritage. We've got live Irish music. We'll explain what the heck curling is. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The Senate just passed a funding measure to keep the government open for another 6 months.
The yeas are 54, the nays are 46. The bill is passed.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer urged Democrats to vote yes. CBS's Erica Brown says he got a pat on the back from the president.
Trump offered rare praise for a Democrat, saying Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is doing the right thing, voting for a temporary spending bill to keep the government open.
Our Caitlin Huey Byrne says many in his party aren't praising him, though.
You have a lot of Democrats who are upset with Schumer for providing this political cover to get this bill onwards. And Schumer's argument was, look, we are between a rock and a hard place right now. We don't have the leverage we think we do. And if we don't act now, the government will shut down. And that could be catastrophic for the very federal workers we're talking about protecting.
The bill now goes to the president's desk. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.